and different issues that is happening or that are happening inside OSP, right? So how this man works, he just, you know, works with his informants and gives them soda tickets and gives them, you know, just whatever stuff, you know, they handle, you know, they run inside a jail that obviously is forbidden. But, you know, he promised them not to move them to different institutions because he has the power of moving inmates, you know, to different institutions. So that's why my friend was sent to Two Rivers together with these other guys. So I gave Inspector General a list of the of names, you know, four or five inmates that we were advocating for, and, you know, my friend Rafael and other guys that we were requesting to bring them back. And, you know, they never investigate any of these guys. They never contact them, you know. And, again, their investigation was based on going back to the source of the problem, which is Douglas Yancey, right?
KBOO Evening News also gained access to the testimony from these inmates gathered by Don't Shoot PDX over the last couple of months. The following clips recorded from phone interviews with the inmates have not previously been released to the public.
So I haven't really spoken much about this whole Yancey issue just because, you know, I'm afraid of the retaliation with these guys. And he's one of the guys that he's called me in his office probably four or five times over the past few years, and it's always to get information and wanting me to collaborate with him. And he tries to be nice and give me some information here, give me some information there, and I'm not going to play that game. I've already told him once and twice, and it's just I'm putting my safety and well-being at risk. I don't know what else to say about the guy. I mean, honestly, he's just it's all bad with him. He's just pressuring people and scaring them. And the last incident I had with him, too, before that, and I never said anything about that, you know, he goes to shake my hand and, you know, just like, we're parting ways, and he pulls my hand towards him, towards his groin, you know, to grab his genitals. I'm like, what the f***, you know, and I step back, and he's like, you know what, don't pursue any of your grievances, just leave it alone, and if not, you know, I'll ship you out of here, and it'll take months before your attorneys find you.
Well, why are you classified as SDN?
He didn't say. Well, no, he did. He said, well, apparently he thinks that you're associated with the... that you have friends in Mexican cartels or something like that. And I'm like, well, what? I've been incarcerated for almost half my life. I mean, where are these contacts at?
So that's according to the Department of Correction, right?
That's according to Yancey.
Yancey, according to the Department of Correction, where are you STM?
The Department of Corrections hasn't told me anything.
They haven't, okay. How long had you been classified as SDN?
I think I just started when they moved me here, because that's when Stewart mentioned STM, because I've never been STM. I've been incarcerated since 2004 at 2003 for DOC, and I've never been STM, and all of a sudden Yancey. Here's the thing, though. STM, you can get tagged for whatever reason. If Yancey so feels like he's going to put you on STM restrictions, he'll do it, and he thinks he's God, and that's how he's with rough people. So it doesn't matter whether, I mean, it's just, if he doesn't like the way you walk, if he doesn't like the way you dress, if he doesn't like the way you look at him, you're STM.
Wow. Okay.
They restrict from programs. They read your mail. They fuck with you all the time. They go and shake your cell down. I mean, just this morning I had my cell shaken down at 9 a.m. That's the wake-up call I got. I've been here 40-something days, and I've already been searched four or five times. So mail catches up to you. So wow. A lot of these people under that threat, they're going to give anybody up just so they can stay here close to their family.
Is there anything else that you would like to say to add to this interview that I just have with you?
Well, just the fact that, you know, I'm real hesitant to bring this to light just because of the circumstances surrounding it, you know, and everybody's afraid of this guy. It's just what the power that they've given this guy is just...
Do you mean Yancey?
Yancey, yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's just, his word is gold and everybody should follow it, you know, and he's messed with so many people. I mean, he's got people all over the state claiming that they violate or they pose a threat to the safety and security institution. I mean, at OSP, I was never caught with any drugs. I was never caught with anything. I didn't possess anything. I didn't sell anything. You know, I was out there raising funds for nonprofits and charities and helping my fellow countrymen there. And all of a sudden, I'm the threat to the safety and security of the operation. When he's got guys there in that same prison who have been caught with money, drugs, cell phones, and they're roaming around OSP just because they're working for him. So if you don't work for the guy, I mean, you're pretty much a threat to him, and he gets you the hell out.
Okay.
So I'm scared. I'm scared that when all this comes to light and, you know, that I'll be at a Florida prison, an Alabama prison, or anywhere else for that matter, you know. So I am. I'm scared.
Okay. Hey,
they don't retaliate like obvious, right? But it's so obvious that to explain it to you better, that's like, okay, they accused me of something, right?
You're right.
They sent me to IMU.
Uh-huh.
They say that that's a program that is not punishment. How can that be a punishment when they put a leash on you like a dog to take you to the shower, and they keep you locked up for 23 hours?
Well,
and it's not a punishment. It's got to be punishment.
That's right. Yep.
So,
this is what they did. When I got out the hole, they ended up keeping my mail. They took my mail. They said I was on mail watch. So what they did is they kept my mail, and I ended up having to go to them in order for me to get my mail from them, because I was never receiving no mail in the mail no more. So I had to go to their office in order for me to pick up my mail, and then, like, my property, though, they had took my phone books. And my phone, my address books, they took them, and then they end up talking about that they don't know where it was at.
So do they end up giving it back to you, or do they keep it?
Well, they had kept it, and they only gave me one of them back. So I asked them. So what Yancey said, I don't know what the hell happened to it. Just grieve me. You know what I mean? Just go through the process of grieving me about your property. See, STM is that when they put you on STM, see, well, yes, he do. He'll just put you up on there. They're supposed to give you information on what you can and what you can't do and what all you need to do in order to get off of it. But he don't never, if you talk to other inmates, he don't never have you to sign nothing. The package that you're supposed to receive, he just tell you out of his own mouth, and he'll log it in his computer that you're up under STM. He never give you no paperwork to let you know anything about what's going on.
Okay. And so when you refer to he, you're referring to Yancey?
What happened?
When you say he, you
Yancey. Yes.
Yancey,
yeah.
Okay. And, yeah. Have you been given a plan in the prison?
Have I
given a plan for you to follow?
A form for me to follow?
No, a plan.
A plan?
Yeah.
No, he never gave me no plan at all. And in the OR, you're supposed to receive this whenever you get on STM. Yancey never did issue this out to nobody.
Okay, so no plan given to you, eh?
No, never.
Okay, and is there anything else that you would like to say?
I mean, well, you know, I think that, you know what I'm saying, for him to be a little bit more professional with him doing his job, you know, I understand that, you know what I'm saying, they're going to need some snitches or informants to help them out, but I don't think that they should hold that against another inmate, you know, before they do what they did. Like I said, they just shipped me out, and I've been there since 2008, and they shipped me out way out here. I never even been to this institution before.
Okay, so do you get some visitation?
Well, I'm so far away. I'm like 4 hours away from Portland, and my son, he's in Portland. So when I was in Salem, I was 45 minutes away.
Right.
Now they ship me out here, And you know what I'm saying? And I'm in the process of getting married in on Monday, but I had to rearrange my whole plans. Now my mom is not able to come down to my wedding because the dates that when I was at OSP, I supposedly got married on October the 25th. But down here, they make me get married on October the 24th. And when my mom, when she tried to fly in, the airline was charging her an extra $400. So now she can't afford to pay that extra fee. So I don't know why that it's another penitentiary, that Oregon State Correctional Institution. I wonder why that they would ship me there besides shipping me way out here. So basically it's like it's retaliation because I'm not helping them out. I'm not cooperating with them, and I'm not being one of their informers or their snitches. You know what I'm saying? They doing this for retaliation to punish me for being way out here.
Okay, and so you haven't received any visitation lately?
No, I haven't received nothing. Nothing.
When was the last time you received a visitation?
I received a visitation. I left OSP. I left OSP on September the 21st of 2006. I had a visit on September the 19th of 2016. So I had just had a visit that Monday before they shipped me out Wednesday. Now I'm so far away, I can't even see my son now.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Griggs, I do appreciate your time and the time that you talked to me. And thank you for answering all the questions.
Okay.
I do appreciate that. And you have a good day. And anything else you want to add?
Oh, nothing. Whatever you might need later on, you can always, you know what I'm saying, if I can be helpful to you, you know what I'm saying, I don't mind being helpful to you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Green, very much. I appreciate your help. And you have a good afternoon, sir.
All right. Thank you. You too.
You're welcome, sir. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
So my name is Nita Kelly, and my brother is inmate at Snake River Correctional Institution in Ontario, Oregon. Last year, he went in for some kind of spinal surgery. And first, they told him that he was not able to tell us that he was going in for surgery when he was leaving. So he was able to call and tell us that he loved us, and we didn't hear from him for a few weeks. When he got, when he was able to contact us, he told us that he had had the surgery and that they gave him a Neurontin pill, which is like the equivalent to ibuprofen for spinal surgery, but he was able to get one in the morning and one in the evening, somewhere around dinner time. When he told him that the medication wasn't helping because he also does the laundry, so he has to stand up all day, and he was able to have a wheelchair to do his job, he told him that the medication wasn't helping. They took away his wheelchair and the 5 o'clock med that he was supposed to get. And then when he complained about that and said that he couldn't stand, they put him in a hole for, I don't know how long he was in there, but he didn't call for like a month. And then when he got back out, he was asking us to call and see what's going on. Well, why is he, you know, being treated this way, and to see if it's against the law. So when I called to speak to someone, they told me that I was not authorized to speak on his behalf, that only one person from our family out here at a time can speak for him and to ask questions. Because it was my sister, they wouldn't give me information or take any of my questions or anything. So the next time that I called, I just gave them my sister's name, and they still didn't have any answers. They just said it was protocol. That's what they told us. It was protocol that inmates aren't to have strong medications and whatnot, but when you're having surgery on your spine, it's a little bit difficult to give someone ibuprofen for a spinal surgery, and then they're in a concrete building in the middle of winter. So obviously he's going to have a lot more pain than normal people that can come home and get in a bed and warm up or whatever the case may be. They kind of just treated him like crap. He's got, I think, 8 months left from a 15-year sentence. He's never really been in trouble at all besides the asking for medications and being put in the hole.
Do you know who was responsible for putting him in the hole? Have you gotten any names of any prison officials that are...
I called his counselor. I tried to speak to the warden. No one would call me back. His counselor was the one that told me that because I wasn't my sister, that they couldn't release information. When we went to the Oregon Department of Corrections, they said that wasn't true, that anyone from the outside could call and ask questions and, you know, get information. And so I don't know... so. No one's called me back. I also called them to the Oregon Department of Corrections. Nobody ever called back from there.
Are you worried?
I have no answers.
Are you worried about your brother's the condition of his health right now?
Extremely worried. You know, we lost our mom 2 years ago, and he was dealing with that when they took him in for surgery. So it wasn't he's got mental health, you know, from grieving. He's in there by himself, but also his physical health. He has asthma. He was diagnosed with diabetes while he was in there, and they're not, you know, taking care of him. They're not doing the things that, I mean, it's inhumane. Just because they're in prison does not mean that you treat them like animals. You know, I talked to him this morning. He's telling me that it's like 17 degrees out there, how bad his back is hurting, but he can't ask for more help. He can't ask for ibuprofen. He can't do any of those things. So he's just dealing with it.
That's awful. Well, I don't want to take up any more of your time. It sounds like you're really busy, but thank you for sharing the story. It sounds like your brother's condition has worsened a lot since he's been in the system.
Yeah.
I don't think that's uncommon either. Well, I hope that he's able to get through the little bit of his sentence that he has left and that you'll be able to be with him soon. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you. Thank you for taking
it. All of the testimonies you've just heard are from inmates that are still imprisoned within the Oregon Department of Corrections. We encourage you, the listener, to reach out to the director of Oregon Department of Corrections, Colette Peters, at 503-945-0927, or the Inspector General, Craig Prinz. His office's number is 503-945-9012. Tell them that you have heard the testimony of inmates that are suffering institutional racism within the Oregon Department of Corrections, and that Lieutenant of the STM, Douglas Yancey, needs to be held responsible for the abuses that he is systematically